you, Adam.
It is now 27 minutes to 4. This is Northern Drive, coming to you this week from the ABC North Queensland studios in Townsville. Though tomorrow, Mark and I will be on Magnetic Island at this exact moment in time, broadcasting from Horseshoe Bay, which would be a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of fun there. I'll get the exact location and let you know about it in a second. I think it's at the YHA there. Bungalow Bay YHA. That's where we're broadcasting from, at Horseshoe Bay. If you're on Maggie Island, come down and say g'day tomorrow afternoon. If you're not, don't worry. We'll bring Magnetic Island to you. Terrible Termites next on Northern Drive. The original Crowded House album, the self-titled debut album. Now we're getting somewhere. That one released in 1985 with a rather abrupt end too, doesn't it? 22 to 4 at the time. Termites can make the Australian dream a nightmare, unlike few other non-financial things in this world. North Queensland's termites can be particularly problematic for property owners because they're so ferocious. And for this week's Northern Creature feature, I found a fellow that knows termites inside out. Dr. Don Ewart is an entomologist who has worked with the insects for nearly 40 years. And I asked him Has he ever come across a community of these creatures that even surprised him? And the answer was yes.
There's a mound down just north of Townsville, the old Endeavour property, Leichhardt Creek, if you know it. Nice spot. And I've been working on this mound on and off since 1995. And about 3 years ago, it stopped eating pine. And it had eaten pine all that time, and now it doesn't eat pine. And I have no idea why. You know, it's just bizarre. You never know what decisions they'll make.
So this is a mound that has been there for a long time. It's gone off its food source that you've known it to eat the whole time. Does that mean it's gone off its food completely, or it'd be eating something
else? No, it ate the hardwood. So it's Coptotermes asinaciformis, the main tall mound builder there, and all the others around it quite happily still eat pine, and this one didn't eat pine.
You're a man that teaches inspectors and people all around the world, pest managers, how to handle termites. Is one of your key messages to people when you're teaching them about termites that you're never going to be able to fully understand these things? They will surprise you.
Yes. So the really important thing to train people who are managing them is to not just look in the expected areas, because every now and again you find them in a place that looks ridiculously unsuitable, and that's where they'll be.
What are the main ones that we would interact with in North Queensland, the main variety of termite?
North Queensland, most of your damage is through Coptotermes, so that's the one that builds the kind of tall mounds usually next to a gum tree. Most of the other mounds you see are just grass eaters that'll never eat your house. But you've also got the giant northern termite, Mastotermes, which is amazing. When it hits, you know it's hit. That eats really fast.
And where is that one more likely to hit?
Pretty much anywhere from Bundaberg up, but it's not in the wet tropics.
Doesn't like as much rain?
No, doesn't like the rain.
How big is a giant termite?
Well, that's a really good question. About 12 millimetres. Much bigger than the usual ones.
Are they the ones that build the huge mounds that you see?
No, the huge mounds, they're various Nasutotermes. They're just grass eaters, so they won't eat your house.
So you could build a house next to them and they wouldn't bother you and you wouldn't bother them.
Yeah, one of my cousins lived in Darwin and he kept a mound in his backyard and he didn't have to mow. It was really cool.
Dr. Don Ewart is with us. He is an entomologist and knows a lot about termites. Been working with them nearly 40 years now. He's up in North Queensland at the moment, as he's often living in Melbourne mostly these days, but very familiar with North Queensland, worked up here a lot over the past few decades with termites. And Dr. Don, what specifically are you doing this time around?
This time I'm just checking up on some stuff, but I'm mainly collecting termites to take back to run tests, because the termites up here, the Coptotermes, they work better than any of the others I've collected.
When you say that, what do you mean? What makes them special?
They attack harder. I don't know. I mean, I look after them very carefully. They fly back, you know, in nice warm aeroplane, and they get kept at 27 degrees, which they love. But the ones here are really good, reliable test animals.
When you say they attack harder than other termites, what does that mean practically in the real world for us? Does that mean that they'll do a lot more damage in a shorter space of time than other termites?
Yeah, so something that might slow them down, say, around, because they're widespread, something that might slow them down around Sydney or Brisbane, they'll damage a whole lot more here.
What are our best measures for managing termites? Has it changed much in the 40-odd years you've been working with them?
Oh, yeah, it's changed enormously. We used to use all those pesticides that got banned, and still the pesticides we use, they're a lot safer, but they are a threat to things. I prefer physical systems, so I worked a long time with crushed rock, the granite guard system that was just an impervious barrier for them. We did design one that would keep out the two major termites here, the big ones and the little ones, but there wasn't the market for it, so they never developed it, which is fun. We did work with the old electricity board, because there was a time when the termites, the Mastotermes, took out the power to the port of Townsville, and that was really expensive, so we looked at all sorts of ways to protect that.
It's hard to protect everything. Can anything ever be termite proof? In the truest sense of the word?
A lot of people up here are moving to steel-framed housing, and that makes a lot of sense. Not if it burns. If it burns, get out fast. They fall down. But the termites will still come in. You know, I've had them come in and eat the paper off the plasterboard or the sleeves of some guy's suits. There's something that they'll always find that they like.
You say you train inspectors to look in places that they ordinarily wouldn't think of. What are some examples of termite damage that you've seen in spots that people wouldn't think that they'd be able to get into?
Sometimes they'll come into your farm shed and they'll go right up the steel, 3 or 4 metres. They'll build a little tube and they'll eat out the timber that's holding down your roof. They'll follow condensation. They can follow the scent of good wood a long way. So they'll often eat out the cross arms on a power pole just from the smell that goes down into the soil.
When you come up here to collect termites and take them back to test, what are you using them for? What are they teaching you?
This one is against the stone product. It's sold as far north as Bundaberg, the standard grade. So it's just to make sure that they're still producing it to the right quality.
So you'll consistently, year on year, test with new batches of termite to see whether the termites can get through it?
The stone's amazing. I mean, we know that it's got to be between this size and that size, and it's got to be this sharp and that hard. But when it comes down to it, nothing tells you it'll work apart from termites. So I tested 43 quarries, and only 3 of them would produce a product that would work.
And why? What was the difference?
Just tiny bits in the shape of the stone. It's got to break to just the right size, and it's got to be hard, because termites will chew at stuff.
Do you know how long termites have been on the planet for? They've probably been here a lot longer than us.
Termites are just organised cockroaches. They evolved from a group of wood-feeding cockroaches. So they've been around a good 200 million years. Most of our termites across the country have arrived recently, as we've got close enough to Asia for them to come across. So if you go up the Daintree or into the wet tropics, there's only one that builds mounds in the really wet forests, and that's Protocapritermes, which has probably only been here 2 to 4 million years. But some of the others, they're Antarctic, and they go, we've got, you know, relatives in South Africa and South America of those.
You say they're organised cockroaches, essentially. People think of them as ants. Are they ants?
No, they're not ants. Ants, bees and wasps go together, and when you see them, it's all female workers. Termites are cockroaches. It's, you know, a mix of species and very different behaviours. But it's all to do with the things that live in their gut and control their feeding. So they're kind of little walking compost bins.
You're hearing from Dr. Don Hewitt. He is an entomologist that does a lot of work in North Queensland with termites. He's up here at the moment having a yarn to us on Northern Drive. And Dr. Don, how long can these mounds persist for? What have you seen in terms of length of time span?
They can replace their queens, and a mound can go probably more than a century. There were some with the Overland Telegraph in Central Australia that they dated well over 80 years. And there's some in South Africa that they've dated from the evaporative water from their kind of central evaporative air conditioning. They've been continuously inhabited for more than 4,000 years, which is pretty staggering.
How long would one queen last for in a mound?
Probably not much more than 25, 30 years.
And the average
still
worker,
a long time
that's a
for
long
an
time for an insect. But the workers, they don't live that long, do they?
No, the workers get different roles. When they're little, they stay home and mind the nest, and they get to feed as they get a bit older. And when they get worn out, they become exploring ones, and they go out to the ends to look more food. And they're probably packing it out at around 3 years.
So if someone's nibbling on your house, termites are nibbling on your house, they're usually 3-year-old workers, are they?
Oh, no, it depends how close they are. It can be quite young. So knowing the sizes of what's in there can tell the pest manager quite a lot. The younger ones forage close to the nest. So if you've got small ones in your house, that's a worry.
You're a big advocate of people getting regular checks, but as you will freely admit, Dr. Don, people say that it needs to be 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. It's probably dependent on where you are as to how frequent.
It is, but you need to assess the risk based on your property and where you are. You know, north side of the hill, south side of the hill makes a difference.
So, how so?
The amount of moisture that's around, the soil, the land use history can tell you a lot. I used to work in Hawaii, and we had one little spot where 2 streets, everything was really badly eaten, and the next street over hardly ever got eaten, and they were all developed at the same time. But in the spots where the termites were really active, that's where the piggery had been. and the different soil made all the difference.
Okay. Are these things that people can tell you when they come, will building inspectors and that kind of person be able to know that before you buy a house?
Yeah. So before you buy a house, I'm a member of the Pest Managers Association. There's a code of practice they produce for pre-purchase inspections, and that's free from their website, which is really good. And that gives you a whole lot of what to check out before you buy a house, because there's a lot to look for. I mean, people occasionally buy a house and they discover they've got massive hidden damage, or there was one in Queensland earlier in the year that they bulldozed, which is a bit unpleasant.
So that was Dr. Don Ewart with us on Northern Drive, an entomologist that knows more than a thing or two about termites. It's 11 minutes to 4.